You know, when I first realized that I would be giving this morning's message on Scout Sunday, I've got to tell you, I was a little bit concerned that some of our scouts might be a little lost. Because you see, here at First Presbyterian, over the past month, we've been engaged in a series of messages that are based on some movies that first came out when I was in high school. Okay, now that was probably before some of your parents were even born. So that was a long time ago, and I'm not sure that you'd have maybe ever heard of these movies before. They're called Star Wars. None of you guys know it. You guys have heard of those movies? Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm actually pulling your leg a little bit. It was actually one of your fellow scouts, my son John, who encouraged me to do this series, and he's been kind of my technical consultant as I've been preparing these messages. But I assume that that you guys would probably all be familiar with the Star Wars movies. And just out of curiosity, how many of us here this morning, scouts or the rest of us, how many of us have seen the latest Star Wars movie, A Force Awakens? Okay, good proportion of us, good proportion of us. Our family went and saw it on New Year's Eve. It's kind of a tradition in our family. We see a movie on New Year's Eve. So this year we went to see The Force Awakens, and it's a great movie. I mean, great 3D special effects. It was neat the way that they brought back some of the old characters. They introduced some new characters to carry the story on. And so it's a great movie. But I've got to tell you, there was one aspect of it that kind of left me somewhat depressed. I'll tell you what it was. Force Awakens, so that, of course, is episode 7 in the Star Wars series. But now think back to the ending of episode 6. Which was the return of the Jedi. Do you remember the final scene in that movie? I mean, it's this magnificent, celebratory scene. It looks as though the evil galactic empire has at last been defeated. The evil emperor was thrown down this reactor chute. Darth Vader, well, he had a little moment of redemption at the end, but Darth Vader is dead. Most of the Imperial fleet was destroyed. The second Death Star got blown up. And so the entire galaxy erupts in celebration. You see throngs of people in the streets of the cities. There's fireworks going off, church bells ringing. In the more remote areas, people are dancing and singing around the campfires. It's this tremendous scene of celebration. In fact, people who study Star Wars from a Christian perspective, they say, wow, this is like a vision of the eschaton. Now, that's kind of a big $50 word, right? But I'll tell you what it means. The eschaton is the word that people who study Christian belief, they use it to refer to the last times, the end of the world, the end of history, when God's kingdom finally arrives in all of its fullness. And they say, that's what it, you know, that scene in Star Wars reminds us of. In fact, that scene where the emperor gets thrown down the reactor chute, remember that scene? Some people say that that is like the scene at the end of the book of Revelation where the devil gets thrown down the great abyss. And then that scene where all these different creatures from all over the galaxy are singing and dancing and rejoicing. It's like a vision, an image of God's kingdom. And then what happens? You get to episode 7, and it's right back to the way things had been. It's the same story all over again. The Galactic Empire is back in the form of something called the First Order. The old emperor has been replaced by Supreme Leader Snoke. There's a new Darth Vader figure called Kylo Ren. There's an even more powerful Death Star called the Starkiller Base. It's 10 times bigger than the last Death Star. You're looking at this and you're saying, it's like deja vu all over again. It's as though nothing had happened. Well, there's obviously an important commercial reason why the same scenario is being repeated all over again. Disney has acquired the rights to Star Wars. It's an extremely lucrative franchise, and so they want to keep churning out the profits. And this has been a winning formula, and so they just are recycling it all over again. Every time there's a new Star Wars movie, it's like ka-ching, 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 you know, it's racking up the profits. That's the one reason. But there is another reason why in the Star Wars scenario, the Star Wars Wars worldview, why the dark side, evil, is never ultimately defeated, why it just keeps cycling over and over again. And it has to do with sort of the worldview, the mindset, the image of reality that is being expressed through Star Wars. Now, we're getting into some heavy stuff here, okay? So you guys just try to hang with me, all right? We all know what in Star Wars the divine power is called, right? It's called the Force, as in the Force be with you. The Force is what gives the Jedi the ability to carry out their mission as the guardians of peace and justice in the galaxy, right? That is their source of strength. But the Jedi are tapping into the light side of the Force. But there is also a dark side of the Force, right? When somebody goes over to the dark side, they're being drawn over to the dark side of the Force. And so you remember the scene where the Emperor Palpatine, he's trying to lure Anakin Skywalker over to the dark side, and he says, the Jedi, they only know about the light side of the Force, but if you really want to understand some reality, you have to understand both sides, and I can introduce you to the dark side of the Force. And so the Force, now there's different interpretations of this, I realize, and so we don't have time this morning to get into an extended discussion of Star Wars theology. There's different ways of interpreting the Force, but here's at least one way of looking at it. The way that I interpret it, the way it sounds to me, it sounds as if Star Wars is rooted in kind of a view of ultimate reality, a view of the way things are that's rooted in really Eastern religions, the religions of the Orient. It's a worldview that is expressed, that is summed up, that is represented by this symbol up here that you've all probably seen before, okay? The yin and the yang. You guys all see this before? Basically, what that symbol represents is that ultimate reality, whatever is ultimate, the supreme being, the power behind all things, it's a mixture, a combination of both light and darkness. They're both co-eternal, coexistent. They're intertwined with one another. And so the objective is to bring them into balance. They both exist side by side for all eternity. And the idea is to create a state of equilibrium, to create a state of balance between them. Okay? And so you remember in Star Wars, the prophecy about Anakin Skywalker, he is the one who will bring balance to the Force. That is what it is all about. Now, it's easy to understand why people would have that idea, right? Because that's a picture, an image of what life is like, isn't it? I mean, we go through life, and it seems as though our experiences in life involve good times and bad times, times of happiness, times of sadness, times of fortune, times of misfortune. And so your life just seems like it's this endless cycle of good and bad. You look at the world around us, and good and evil just seem to be constantly seesawing back and forth. Back and forth. And so it's easy to understand why people would get the idea that that is what ultimate reality is like. That is what the universe intrinsically is all about. That is what, the world is, because that is what we see all around us. That is what we see in our lives. It's easy to understand why people would get that idea, but there's some shortcomings to that picture of reality. There's a downside to it, a couple of downsides. The downside to it is that it doesn't really give you a very strong incentive to work for what is right, to stand up for things that are right, to struggle against the dark impulses even in your own heart and life, because at the end of the day, all you're doing is helping to restore the balance between darkness and light, but they both have their own place within the overall framework, the overall fabric of reality. Both darkness and light, they each have their place. And so the Boy Scout, in the overall picture, the overall scheme of things, the Boy Scout who helps a little old lady across the street, the gang member who knocks her over the head and steals her purse, well, they each have their place in the overall framework of reality. And also, it's not an image of reality that gives you much of a basis for hope, because the darkness and the light, they're both equally eternal. They coexist throughout all time. They sometimes will get out of kilter, and then the balance will be restored, but they just kind of continue perpetually. There's just always darkness and light intertwined with one another. And that is why as Christians, that is not the view that we have of ultimate reality or of God. The Christian perspective is all summed up in a verse in the New Testament book of 1 John. Now, this is a book of the New Testament where an early follower of Jesus named John was writing to a community of Christians, and he was conveying to them what Jesus had told his followers. And this is what he said. He said, This is the message that we have heard from him, from Jesus, and now we declare it to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. In other words, this person is saying the God that we worship is not like the Force in Star Wars. The God that we worship has no dark side. The God that we worship is nothing but goodness and light. The God that we worship is unreservedly on the side of light. And you know, that has some powerful, powerful implications. And those implications are spelled out in that passage that we heard read from the Gospel of John. Our scripture lesson from John chapter 16, Jesus is talking to his followers, to his disciples, just before they are about to experience the darkest chapter in their lives. As a matter of fact, it is probably the darkest chapter in human history. Okay? Jesus is about to go to the cross. And just think of these people who have been following him for several years, what they will experience when Jesus is crucified. It will look like the dark side has won. The light has been extinguished. Matter of fact, to go back to the Star Wars illustration, it kind of reminds me of the end of the movie, The Revenge of the Sith. Remember that? The end of that movie. And the Jedi Order has all but been destroyed. And it seems as if the evil galactic empire has triumphed at last. And I mean, it just seems like the light has been extinguished from the galaxy. Well, that is the kind of experience the disciples of Jesus are about to undergo. And so Jesus is talking to them, anticipating that. Not only is Jesus anticipating what is going to happen in the short term, I think Jesus is looking ahead to all of the dark experiences that his followers will subsequently face, all of the times of persecution, all of the times of suffering, all of the troubles that they will go through, all of the times when evil seems to have the upper hand in the world, all the way up until today, the troubles, the suffering, the evil that you and I experience. Jesus is looking ahead and anticipating all of that. And Jesus says, when that happens, okay, remember two things. Remember two things. Remember, first of all, that it's only temporary. It's only temporary. Jesus says, you will have times of grief, but the grief will be followed by joy. The grief will only be momentary. The joy will be endless. Jesus goes on to use an analogy that those of us who are guys probably have to be a little cautious about using, because it's an experience that none of us have had or ever will have, the experience of giving birth to a child, okay? And so have to be a little cautious here if we're guys, but Jesus basically says in that passage that times when we're going through trouble, at times when evil seems to have the upper hand, it's sort of like the experience of a woman giving birth to a child. Usually, for most mothers, that's not something that they continue to dwell on. Now, there is an exception. I'm just wondering how many of us are familiar with Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion. You have any Prairie Home Companion fans here this morning? You might remember that there is a sketch, a regular feature in Prairie Home Companion where Dwayne is talking to his mother, you remember? And Dwayne's mother is constantly reminding him of what she went through to bring him into the world, okay? But that is almost the exception that proves the rule, because the reason that that little sketch is so funny is because normal mothers don't do that. Normal mothers, once their child has come into the world, the love, the joy, the pride that that person, that young person brings, just overshadows, overcompensates for whatever pain and suffering it went through to bring the child into the world. Jesus is saying that that is what experiences of darkness in our life are like, the first glimpse of glory, the first glimpse of the face of Jesus. All of that will fade away. All of that will be overshadowed. All of that will be lost to our memory. So Jesus is saying, when you're going through the dark times, remember, it's only temporary. The second thing, it's kind of interrelated, but the second thing that Jesus says is that when we are encountering experiences of darkness, when we're encountering suffering, when we're encountering evil, remember that you are up against a foe that has already been defeated. Jesus, in that last verse of the chapter, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. Does that sound like a fairly accurate statement of things? And anybody want to disagree with that? In this world, you will have trouble, but, Jesus says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Whatever you are facing, whatever obstacles, whatever challenges, whatever feels like a threat to you, just remember, Jesus has already overcome it. Jesus is so certain of the final victory that he is able to talk about it as if it has already happened. Now, in most cases, when there's some kind of a contest going on, the outcome is still rather uncertain. For example, some of you might be watching a contest this evening, and I suspect in this room with this number of people, you know, all of us, you know, might be rooting for a different team in the Super Bowl this evening. Now, I think the people, you know, forecasting, setting the odds, they're saying the odds are with the Panthers, but there could be an upset, right? There might be an upset. The outcome is always uncertain. But Jesus is saying to his followers, in the greatest contest of all, the contest between light and darkness, the contest between good and evil, it's already been decided. The victory is assured. And brothers and sisters, that is the ultimate basis for hope. That is a real source of hope. Amen.